This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay. Well, we've had an interesting morning around here, no doubt about it. NWGR Sports Radio 550. And now time for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. A lot of you are talking about the Brandon Bean interview with Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase from earlier today. You can find that interview on demand, WGR550.com. Also go to the YouTube page, by the way. YouTube was blowing up today. I love it. YouTube was blowing up. A lot of people in the bullpen, a lot of people talking about and chatting about when it was going on, but you can always go back and listen to it. A really interesting interview with Brandon Bean. And he came out, you know, kind of swinging at and pushing back at a notion that the Bills have not done enough at wide receiver and why that is. And it's created a lot of really good discussion. And that's fine. I think that it's valid to have that discussion from both sides of the argument and both sides of the aisle. I also think we should really look at what the Bills did do and how the players they've added are going to impact their team in other ways, in other areas. Not just maybe what you think they haven't done or need to do still. That stuff still has to happen. And still can happen, I should say. But it's very interesting. It was fantastic radio and back and forth today between Bills general manager Brandon Bean and our morning show hosts Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. And if you want to continue on in that, you are more than welcome at 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, that's getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. But I'm just going to hear, I'm here to tell you right off the bat, like I'm not planning on spending the whole show talking about the Bills wide receiver room, if that's what you want to do. You can call in about it, no doubt. But there are 9 new players on this team who are going to have an impact in some way, shape, or form. Whether they actually have an impact on the field, on a 53-man roster, on game day, is yet to be determined. But they're going to impact how the roster is shaped. And I think we need to talk about all that. Because we went into the weekend still having questions about certain positions, certain areas that they wound up, you know, they hadn't picked yet. Because, or what they, at least what they're going to do, I guess, in the draft on day number 3. I want to take you back, though, to last week, the week before, and the week before. For about a month, I've been confidently saying here on WGR that I believe the Bills would draft 2 defensive linemen and a cornerback in the first 3 picks. It's exactly what they did. And I was very confident in that because it's just the way it's lined up for knowing how this team has built their roster. And on top of that, what they needed after last year. And to Brandon Bean's point, to go back to that with Jeremy and Joe, what they needed to him from last year was more help in those areas. Not more help at wide receiver. They've had a little turnover there. But the help that was needed on this team, from their eyes, to me, is always pretty clear. It was defensive line and corner. And that's why I was confident to say for the last month and a half, the Bills would be drafting two defensive linemen and a cornerback. Now, what I didn't know was in which order. In fact, I had them taking a defensive lineman first. And I still think it could have happened if Tyleek Williams was on the board, which he was the guy I mocked to them. And I'm going to, full disclosure, like, I don't know how much they loved him or didn't love him, but Tyleek Williams did say after the draft when he was drafted by the Lions that the Bills told him they were going to draft him at number 30. Who knows if that's the case? I had the Bills taking Tyleek Williams. I thought he would be the guy. I thought defensive line would be the position they would focus more early on. Then the board starts to fall, and if you get to that point and a guy you like better at corner is there, like Max Harrison, then you take him, right? That's what the Bills did. So I'm here to talk about all of that today. And if you want to chime in, absolutely. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Like I said, you want to talk about wide receiver, totally fine. I'm going to be talking about all of it today because I think there's a real good discussion to be had about how other areas of this team look. You can be concerned about the wide receiver room all you want. I think you should be really concerned about what happened on defense last year and why the Bills have done what they've done this offseason to remake that side of the ball. I mean, I do a Bills roster chart that I tweet out every once in a while. And right now they're at 76 players. This is not including the reported undrafted free agent additions. That's going to happen. There's reportedly 12 of them, which gets them to 88. So just on the 76 through free agency and the draft, I always color code and have new additions. I have new additions in yellow. Let me count the new additions on defense versus offense, okay? Let's do this real quick. Here we go. New additions on defense. This is guys, these are guys I'm actually counting that, how am I counting them? That they weren't on the team at the end of the year in some capacity last year, even on practice squad, okay? On defense, here we go. Bosa, Hoyt, Landon Jackson, defensive edge. And that's three. Ogunjobi, Sanders, Walker, Deion. That's six. That's defensive tackles, three of them. How about five corners? Max Harrison, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong. We're up to 11. Safety. Excuse me, Derek Forrest, that's 12. 12 adds on defense. Offense, running back Darrington Evans, wide receiver Josh Palmer, Laviska Shenault, Caden Prather. They have added three receivers, by the way. They did lose two. Tight end Jackson Hawes, offensive lineman Chase Lunt, Kendrick Green. That's seven. Five more additions on defense than on offense. And on defense, those five additions, far more that could be put up the depth chart of the additions. You take a look at the offense of all the guys they brought in, all of them. I think the only two that actually are going to have a legitimate chance of playing this year that are, I would put over 50% chance of even making the team. Josh Palmer, of course he's on it, and Jackson Hawes, the new tight end. That's it. Chase Lunt might. I think he has a chance. We can talk about him in a little while. He was a draft pick. He might. Kendrick Green was an offensive lineman. Laviska Shenault, maybe. He's got a chance. He's got to show not only kick return ability, but, you know, obviously that they like, but he's got to help in the wide receiver area. Caden Prather, Darrington Evans. It's Palmer and Hawes, really. That's it. The other guys are like, okay, maybe. Not the case on defense. Bosa's making the team. Hoyt's making the team. Landon Jackson's making the team. When I say make the team for Hoyt, he'll be back after week six. Same with Ogunjobi. Same with Sanders. Same with Deion Walker. Like, all six of those guys are playing. So is Max Harrison. So is Jordan Hancock. I mean, Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson, at least one of them is, maybe both. So that's why I wrote at WGR550.com my reaction to the Buffalo Bills draft. There were a couple things, and I'll get into this right now, about how I feel the Bills approach this, which is, number one, the thing that I wrote at WGR550.com was, it reminded me kind of Oprah Winfrey handing out cars. You know, that viral video, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. That was Brandon Bean saying, you get a defender, you get a defender, and you get a defender to his defensive coaching staff. Like, that's what he did. And I think clearly why is exactly what I just talked about. They fell out of the top 10 in rankings on defense in both points and yards last year for the first time since 2020. Whereas the inverse actually happened on offense. They scored over 30 points a game. They had the league's MVP at quarterback for the first time he ever won it. And that's why they have concentrated where they have, even if you feel they should have gone somewhere else, which I think is totally understandable given the names that you see at wide receiver. And you want more. But from a Bills standpoint, hey, we just showed you we can do it here. And even better than we ever have, ever. Bills set a franchise record for points scored last year. From a Bills perspective, it's we have showed you. It's not just a faith, not just like a leap of faith. We actually did this last year. Scored close to 31 points a game, set a franchise record, second most in the league. And then if you count the playoffs, we're the highest scoring team in the league. So there's the argument, right? That goes both ways. The other thing that struck me about the Bills draft this year. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, Matt Bove and I, and it's always game day in Buffalo, we did a podcast. It's an Odyssey podcast. Find it. You can download it, listen to it. You can watch it online at Sal Sports on YouTube. And a couple weeks ago, we had a really cool discussion that I think transferred into social media, and a lot of you chimed in. I really appreciated it, which was comparing Brandon Bean's drafts against Brett Veach's drafts. And the reason I use Brett Veach is because he's the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. They've won a couple of Lombardis. They've been the Bills' biggest rival over this time period. And, of course, the other biggest thing is they've both been the general manager of their teams, respectively, for the exact same amount of time. They've had seven drafts, now eight. So Matt and I put Brandon Bean's drafts against Brett Veach's drafts. And the thing that I think we both came out of this with was Brandon Bean has had a much higher floor with his draft picks. Guys that have contributed more to the roster throughout the draft. Guys that they've developed and said, I need you to play. Bam, plug in. Bam, you go here. And they've been able to do that. Guys that have been sixth and seventh round picks have played. I mean, you can be out there and say DeMar Hamlin was a bad draft pick. He wasn't. That's just dumb to say. He was a sixth round pick that played 4 years and started at safety almost every game for a team that went to the AFC Championship game. That is a good draft pick for a sixth rounder. Maybe not the overall high ceiling player, which I'll get to and why in a second I say that. Jaquan Johnson was a good sixth round pick as a 4 year player. He got 4 years. You get 4 years out of a sixth round pick? That's great. They don't have to be all pros. I'm not sitting here and saying that. But that's a good draft pick. But that's a floor. That's a nice high floor. But what was missing from Bean's drafts versus Veach's drafts were, it appears, and if you take a look at the accolades and things like that, the Kansas City Chiefs under Brett Veach have had more of the higher ceiling guys, the guys that have reached a higher level, the accolades, the more elite talent at their positions. He's also had more misses, though, believe it or not. Go look at it, folks. We did this exercise. So when we did this, we said, okay, Brandon Bean is a higher floor. Guys he drafts, they can contribute, they develop. The Bills are very good at developing. They might not get to the ceiling, the hope, and they haven't necessarily. Obviously, Josh Allen has, and we could pick apart individual, but collectively. Whereas Veach has had a few more of those guys, he's also had more swings and misses. Guys that just aren't even playing the league. Guys out of the league in a couple years. What this draft represents for me is maybe more of a chance to have those guys. I will say, I think Max Harrison is a really big swing as a first-round pick. But I think the Bills have to start taking swings because that's how you get to the elite talent. That's how you get to a Josh Allen, is you take that swing. Because of his size, because of his lack of ability to play the run due to his size, maybe. Bean says it's not because of lack of effort, obviously. Maybe we're having a discussion about Max Harrison in 2 years and going, it just never worked. And you hope that's not the case, right? This is a first-round corner again. I also think there's a chance we're having a discussion in 2 years about Max Harrison going, oh my God, they hit it out of the park with that kid. He's a ball hawk and a freak because he's so fast. Like, that to me is the difference between this draft and other drafts under this regime. I think the Bills have taken some swings here. That's not to say that it's super risky. I just give more of an opportunity and chance for some of these guys to be on the more higher talented spectrum of the ceiling versus just drafting for a really nice floor, if all that makes sense to you. And that stands out to me about this draft. And it starts with Max Hairston. But it goes throughout. I think Landon Jackson might be my favorite pick in this draft. Because I think he does have a really good floor, but I think this kid could also have a really high ceiling. Look at his body, look at the way he plays, his demeanor, look at his fit in the scheme. I think all of that put together, you could be talking about Landon Jackson having a really nice career. I think he's going to play a long time anyway and have a good career. Like, I think the floor for him, you might not love me hearing this name, but this guy's had a nice floor. It's AJ Epenesa. But I think that's just the floor. I think he has a much higher ceiling, even probably than, to me, it could have a higher ceiling than Greg Rousseau if he stays on this track. And Greg Rousseau's a really good player. Maybe I shouldn't put that on him. But I just love this kid and what he brings. So that's what I think about how this draft took shape, which is, yeah, we're drafting guys that fit was a big thing. Like, they fit what we do, what we're all about, not just on the field, but off the field. But I think they took some swings in this draft, and those swings might not turn out. They might also turn out to be great. But that's what's been missing here, and that's what Josh Allen was. Josh Allen was a swing. So we're going to go big. We're going to go big or go home, right? So that's what I like about it, because it's kind of a departure in that regard. Now, I don't know if the Bills would agree. They'd say, no, we took really good football players. They can come in here, they can play right away, and that's fine. I just think this draft represents a little bit more of that particular type of attitude than what we've seen from the Bills in the past. 803-0550, what do you think of the Bills draft? What do you think about what they have to do still? We're going to have a couple of different guests come on today. We're going to talk with Sal Marana at 10:30 from Rochester. Got it, something we're going to be doing with Sal here, and I want everybody to know it's going to be really cool. Sal's going to join me every Monday at 10:30 in the summer. Why? Because it's the summer, and we could talk baseball in the summer, and he's such a baseball guy, but we're going to talk Bills draft. He was in there all weekend. He was covering the draft. We'll touch on baseball a little bit, but today's going to be about the Bills draft with Sal mostly. And then every Monday through the summer, I'm going to bring Sal on at 10:30. We're going to have two Sals here on WGR, and we're going to touch on the Bills, and we're going to talk some baseball because it's summertime, and why not? And it's not just Yankees, by the way. I told Sal we're going to do this. We got to talk Mets and Blue Jays and Red Sox and everything. So that'll be cool. We'll get a little baseball talking in the summer. I think everybody, I've heard from you in the past, like, why don't you guys talk more baseball? It's tough sometimes. It doesn't resonate here necessarily on Buffalo Radio. And there's so many of you that are fans of a lot of teams. But I think there's a spot for it in the summer. We could do it once a week. So we're going to do that. But today, Sal's going to come and join me. And at 10:30, we'll talk a lot about what the Bills did or didn't do in the 2025 NFL draft. Then, coming up at 11 o'clock, frequent guest of the program, Aaron Gershon of Kentucky. I say that I'm a frequent guest. Aaron Gershon is going to join us. Josh is laughing. He was just on last week when the Bills drafted Max Hairston. I'm kidding, because he's been on once before, but they draft Max Hairston. I bring him on and go, oh, let's talk about this kid. And what I said to him on the radio, Josh, remember, I go, who knows, maybe they'll draft Deion Walker. I said that to him.
I remember that too. When I saw that pick, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. I wonder if we're ever going to talk to that guy again. And here we are.
Yeah, he's going to join us at 11 o'clock to talk about Deion Walker. And then at 11:15, because we won't spend too much time with him to talk about Walker, we're going to have Alan Cole on. Alan Cole is a South Carolina Gamecocks beat writer at Rival Gamecock. There you go. Rivals Gamecock, excuse me. Covers football for them. And we'll get a little bit of intel on TJ Sanders, who, by the way, was also coached at South Carolina by University at Buffalo head football coach Pete Lembo. I reached out to Pete Lembo, I know him well, and said, hey, can you tell me a little bit about this kid the Bills are getting from South Carolina? You coached him. Here's exactly what he wrote back to me via a text. I will read this to you. I gotta find this now. I'm looking at my Twitter feed. I should have just looked at my, okay, text. Pete Lembo says to me via text, quote, TJ was one of my favorite players at South Carolina. He's a light up the room kind of guy, and he's really sharp from a football IQ standpoint. He was an asset on our special teams. He and I have already been in touch, and I look forward to reconnecting soon. End quote. Pete Lembo on TJ Sanders. Alan Cole on TJ Sanders at 11:15. You on the Bills draft right now. Mike in Rochester. First up, go ahead, Mike. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
I think the draft went well, but I think there's a factor out there that people are just not looking at. Everyone knows that Josh Allen is the key to our team. And it blows my mind that people think that this offense is going in a direction that Josh does not want. Anything, Josh is the one that he's behind all this. This whole everyone eats thing is him. You see the hat on his head during the interview. Everything that's going on is going through Josh. I completely believe that, and I don't think that anybody can really debate it. But when they question, you know, what we're doing from an offensive standpoint, honestly, Josh is the one that has all the control. So keep that in mind, all of these fans out there. The whole, you know, the whole wide receiver train. Geez, it's been going on forever. I wonder why Brandon took such a harsh, you know, not harsh. It was legitimate. What he said to those guys this morning has been building for a long time. It's been building in me for a long time. So all I wanted to say is I think they're doing a great job. We have never had a team that's been this successful since the 90s. And everybody wants to throw darts at the little things. Be happy with what we have. The drought was too long. Let's move on. Thanks, Sal.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. I know you're not saying this. But I just want to be clear. I don't think you're saying this. Josh isn't picking the players, but I actually agree. You consult Josh Allen about the offense, right? I mean, this has been documented that the Bills and Joe Brady say, we start with what Josh likes. That's what he says. Not just the plays. Like, what do you like to do? Like, what do we want to keep in, take out? So I also think that you'd be naive to think that the franchise quarterback they just gave $330 million to doesn't have some sort of say in what he likes in his wide receiver room. And he's not picking the players, though. Brandon Bean wants to pick a wide receiver. He's going to do it. If he doesn't want to pick a wide receiver, he's not. Not that Josh Allen's making that call, but I absolutely agree with that call that says, and the point of, yeah, Josh has say in what happens on the offense, and why shouldn't he? He's the one that's got to, it's got to work. He's got to make it work. And you're paying him more than anybody's ever made at the position ever in the history of this league. Let's go to Bill in Toronto. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
Sal, listen. The last time I talked to you, I told you I was heading down to Hong Kong and to watch the Super Bowl and to watch the playoffs. Just got back about a week ago and trying to get the sea legs under me, man. I'll tell you, that's a long flight. But listen, Sal, I'm still reeling from the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you, I agree with you with the draft. I like the draft, and I like taking a swing. This team is set for a while, and now's the time. You're not rebuilding. So I love everything we went with. I agree with you 100%. I'm sorry to have to go back because I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but what this team has to do, I mean, picking players and stuff like that, a lot of it's a crapshoot, but like you say, take a swing when you can. Where I get mad at this team, and I'm still reeling about this loss, and I'll tell you, it's funny watching the game in a different country. But I'll tell you this, Sal. If Kansas City has the ball with 3 minutes and 33 seconds left, you know they're going to get at least a field goal or win the game. And this is where I think we come up short. I don't like the play calling on that last drive. I mean, they came through our line like we didn't have an offensive line out there. Where was the trick play? Where was the rugby play? Where was that Kansas City play that always seems to get them the first down? I mean, Josh just got smothered on three plays. And yes, we should have made the catch on that throw. But I mean, that would have been a fluke play anyway. We have got to, we can demolish the big, the weak teams. We can even beat the good teams. But we need that one play. And that comes from the coaching, that one play that gets us through. I'm still mad, Sal.
Okay, I can tell. I can tell. I know. It's been, you know, we've digested this for a few months. It's all good. But, you know, I mean, this is a call from 2 months ago, too, about what happened there. We all know they called a great blitz. Unfortunately, the Bills didn't have the right, you know, protection on, and that's what happened. We've talked with players about it, Bill, and you're right. It doesn't just come from coaching. Yes, I agree. I think James Cook should have been on the field during that last drive, but you also have to have players make plays sometimes, and that didn't happen. So, if that makes sense, buddy.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I got you. I got you, Bill. I got to run. I got to get to Sal Majorana. Thanks for the phone call. All right, we'll take a timeout. Sal Majorana joining me from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He was down in the Bills media room all weekend long as well. We'll get his thoughts on the 2025 Bills and NFL draft. And your phone call's on the way as well. Stay on hold if you're there. 803-0550 here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hey, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com. for more details. Joining me on the West Her Hotline right now from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle is Sal Majorana. Sal, good to talk with you. And I just told our listeners we're going to be doing this a little more often. Sal's going to join me every Monday in this time slot throughout the summer. We'll talk Bills, we'll talk baseball, and looking forward to it, buddy.
As am I, Sal. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You got it. You got it. All right, let's talk about the Bills draft. Obviously, you were there all weekend. Give me maybe what you really liked about it and what you maybe could be questioning about it.
Yeah, look, I mean, we never know about a draft, Sal, until we get these guys on the field and see what they can do. But on paper, I really liked what the Bills accomplished over the weekend. Look, we all knew what the obvious needs were going into this thing, and I liked the fact that Brandon Bean agreed with us, and he knew where he had to fill holes right away on day one and then day two. You know, I get you can find diamonds in the rough on day three. Obviously, Christian Benford would be the number one, Khalil Shakir, all those guys. Great, fine, I love it. But you need, in those first 2 days, to get players who can come in right away, fill a need, and contribute. And I think looking at what they did, all three of the guys they picked, I expect to come in and play significant roles on defense in 2025.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I just said a little while ago, tell me if you agree, one of the differences between this draft or others for me, the Bills have been very good under Brandon Bean at drafting the floor, right? They get guys, they develop them, they contribute. This feels like a draft where they took some swings, including first-round pick Max Hairston.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just what I said. I wanted the Bills to go ahead and do that. And I think Max Hairston, you know, I think, Sal, as the draft unfolded, you and I were sitting there, I think they would have gone defensive tackle if that run hadn't happened.
Agreed.
After Kenneth Grant went, I think, way too high. But then there were like four that came off the board. I think they would have gone D tackle first. I'm not sure which one it would have been. I don't think it would have been Sanders in the first round. But anyway, once that happened, you know, the only cornerback outside of Travis Hunter that had gone was Barron, who I think was the best cornerback in this draft. Max Hairston was sitting there. And, you know, they passed on Will Johnson. It looks like we'll see if that's the right move or not. I mean, with the knee injury, he did go mid-second round. That might be something you look back on and think, well, they missed by not taking the risk. But Max Hairston was right there, and I think he was a projection late first, early second. And if they hadn't taken him there, it would have taken probably a bigger move up the board to get into the 30s to pick him in the second round. So take him right there. He's a fast kid, great athlete, not the ideal size you want, but if they can develop him, I think he can come right in and beat out Trey White and be the starter on day one.
Interesting. I want to get to corner in a second. Let me stay on the draft, though, and ask you if there's anything you either didn't like about what they did or didn't like about what they didn't do.
I think the one thing I would have tried to do is get a receiver a little bit early. And I know you guys have had a hot morning
yes.
at GR talking about receiver. I'm not disappointed that they didn't do it. Look, I think Josh Palmer is going to come in and be a solid player. I think he'll be better than Amari Cooper. I think he'll be better than Mac Hollins, too, although Mac played well for the Bills last year. I think the Bills have a decent enough wide receiver room. Now, we'll see what he does. I mean, as Bean always tells us, roster construction is a year-long thing. I know they've already got Elijah Moore in for a visit, so we'll see where that goes.
I don't think they're done adding to the wide receiver room yet, but as it stands right now, they could go out and play a game today and have a pretty good group of four to go out there, plus you add Kincaid to the mix. So, you know, it would have been nice if you would have gotten a guy maybe in the fourth round who can return kicks and be a speed threat. It didn't happen, but I'm not going to kill him for that. Otherwise, I think he nailed everything. I love the pick. I'm sure we'll get to it. I love the Hodge pick in the fifth round. I mean, I heard you this morning, Sal, because I had you guys on when I was driving to get my coffee. You have the exact same thought that I did. This is going to be the guy that they're going to use as the sixth offensive lineman because, A, he's a great blocker in college. B, now you have a threat to actually sneak him out in the pass pattern, which Alec Anderson and the year before David Edwards didn't give you. That gives you a little bit more diversity on the offense, so I really like that pick.
Yeah, I do too, and for that very same reason. Then Alec Anderson, who knows, could fight for an actual backup job. Even I don't know if he could really compete for a starter's job with David Edwards, but you never know, right? I mean, they like Alec Anderson enough. That being said, do you think it's too much? Let's go back to receiver for a second. Obviously, and I said this morning, as you know, the Bills are banking on Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and Dalton Kincaid to be healthier and more productive. Is that too much to ask, or is that reasonable?
No, I think that's reasonable. I mean, Curtis Samuel got hurt early in camp, and he just never seemed to find, you know, he's a new player coming into the offense, and I just think he missed too much time in the, you know, in the OTAs portion, the training camp, to really find his niche in the offense. So I expect in year two, that's a veteran player who's been around a while, he should be able to find his niche in this offense as long as he stays healthy. Kincaid, look, there's a big spotlight on him, a player that the Bills drafted or traded up to get in the first round 2 years ago. Pretty good rookie season. I actually expected more in his rookie year than most people did, I think, because he caught a lot of balls, but I don't think the downfield threat was there. But then obviously last year was the injury really set him back. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to become the guy the Bills thought they were drafting 2 years ago. So I think you get him more involved, that raises everybody in that wide receiver room because he's an extra threat. So those are two key players. And then you add Palmer, who I think, Sal, should be an upgrade over both, like I said, Cooper and Hollins. I think Josh Palmer, he was a guy that I thought of in February. I'm looking at who they might sign. And I was one of the people, I'm sure there were others, who said, yeah, Josh Palmer would be a good fit here. And bang, they got him on the first or second day of free agency. So I like that move a lot.
Sal Mayorana joining me here on the Wester Hotline. All right, you brought it up. You said Tre'Davious White. We talked about the moves they made and the secondary throughout this process, free agency and the draft. They go out and draft Jordan Hancock. He can play both safety and nickel. They draft Dorian Strong. He can play outside mostly, a little bit inside. They already signed Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White. Then you have Max Harrison, of course, the first guy they take in this draft who probably has the inside track. How does all this shake out? Let's not forget about Jamarcus Ingram. Of course, he's on the roster. They really like him. Cam Lewis is a backup nickel. What about that competition? How do you see all this kind of shaking out as we get through August?
Yeah, look, the Bills tell us all the time that competition is what they're looking for at every position, and they clearly have made it a competition at cornerback. You know, the moment they started signing Trey White and Dane Jackson, Sal, I felt like, yeah, they're definitely going to add a cornerback in the first or second round, and they are hedging their bets that if the kid can't come in right away and play, they've got two veterans that they trust who have been in Buffalo outside of last year for a long time. You know, it would not surprise me if Trey White is the starter in week one. That just wouldn't surprise me at all. They love him. They know what he can do. If he can stay healthy, he's only 30 years old. It's not like he's an old man. He can still probably play and at least give Harrison the runway if he doesn't quite make it in training camp to become the starter. Dane Jackson is a nice backup to have behind Christian Benford. So I think they've set it up nice, and then we'll see what the two later round kids can do. I like the Hancock pick. You know, they've had Cam Lewis in that hybrid role for a long time here. If Hancock can come in and be the backup nickel and be a special teams demon, which I think he's going to be, then you just have Cam Lewis playing as a backup safety, a special teams guy. I think it's a better role for him. So I like the competition they've added in the secondary all the way around.
Are you surprised they did not draft a linebacker or a running back?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I think definitely at running back, Sal, I have no issue with that. They've got three guys on the team this year. You don't need to roster four running backs. So next year, they can if James Cook is going to be gone, they can get a running back in next year's draft. That's a position where a rookie can come in pretty much right away and play. We just saw it with Ray Davis last year. He came right in and was a nice backup for them. They can address running back next year. Linebacker, I see the point. You've got Matt Milano probably going into his last year. But you know what? They've got Dorian Williams, who they like a lot. He'll be going into his last year in 2026. So they're covered at least for a little while. I understand the depth issue. There really isn't much behind those top three. But again, we'll see. You know, when teams start cutting players in August, Sal, there might be a guy that comes available that they can plug right in. So I'm okay with not picking either position in this draft.
Sal Majorana, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, and noted Yankee fan. He's got his Yankees newsletter we could talk about and tell everybody that they should subscribe. This is free and it's amazing, so you should get on that. And the Yankees had a really nice weekend. Not a good Friday. We were in the media room, you and I. I said to you, I go, Sal, are you watching this? Man, the smoke that was coming out of your ears when Devin Williams blew that save again. They did ultimately turn it around 16 to 3, whatever it was, that they beat the Toronto Blue Jays over the weekend. What'd you think about the weekend for the Yankees?
Yeah, look, Devin Williams has been a disaster. There's no way around it. And they finally recognized it, and Boone, you know, demoted him. He's no longer the closer. When he came over from Milwaukee, man, Sal, I thought, here's the best closer they've had since Mariano retired more than a decade ago. The kid was great in Milwaukee. And for whatever reason, you know, I've done a lot of reading, and the reporters down there have even said, from spring training, you could tell he just – wasn't real comfortable. He looked at the media corps down in Tampa there, and he was like, wow, it's like a major change from Milwaukee. And they've even said, a couple guys have said, he's remarked about that again during the season. So he looks like a guy who just might not be comfortable in the bright lights of New York, and clearly it's affecting him on the mound. He just has not pitched well. So I hope he can figure it out, because he can still be a weapon for them. Right now they're fine with Luke Weaver at closer. Their bullpen actually has been pretty good outside of him. So that was unfortunate Friday night. That was a game. You look back, one of my favorite sayings, and you know, Sal, every game counts. I don't care that there's 162. Every game counts, and that's a game that should have been a win, no doubt about it, and it was a loss. So at the end of the year, you start looking back at the games that, yeah, they should have won that game. So we'll see. I love Sunday. Sunday was beautiful. Yeah. They played really well. A couple of their struggling hitters finally started hitting the ball, Austin Wells in particular. So, yeah, let's hope it's a good sign moving forward.
Before I move on to, real quick, a couple other teams, Sal, what Aaron Judge is doing this year is unbelievable. It really is. I mean, he's hitting .406 and has an on-base percentage of .500.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, too, because last April, I mean, we're at the same point last year when he turned it around. I think it was April 27th, actually, when his turning point came, because he had a terrible first month. Well, it's the exact opposite this year. He has come out guns a-blazing, which is nice, because, let's face it, a lot of people, including me, were pretty disappointed after what happened in October. He was not good for them, and that was part of the reason why, you know, I don't think they would have beaten the Dodgers anyway, but that was one of the reasons why it was only a 5-game series. So he needed to come out fast. He's done a great job so far. He really is the best hitter in baseball, Sal. I mean, there's other guys for sure, but nobody has the combination of all this guy can do when he's right. So he's carried them, because their offense, outside of Judge and a couple other guys, they have a lot of guys who are scuffling. So he really has carried them.
All right, and then finally, give me 30 seconds on Howard Simon's Mets and a lot of other people's Mets here in Western New York.
Yeah, look, the Mets have gotten off to a really nice start. I don't think anybody could have imagined their pitching would be as good as it's been, especially since they lost, you know, Manaea and Montas were supposed to be in the rotation at the start of the year. They haven't even pitched yet. Senga has come back really well from his injury last year. He's been sort of their ace over there. He's pitched great. Yeah, their pitching, if it holds up, they are a very good team. Soto is, we all knew Soto would come around. He started off pretty slowly, but yeah, he's Juan Soto. He'll be fine. And Pete Alonso, man, the guy who nobody wanted in the offseason, he's been one of the best players in the National League so far.
Sal Majorana. All right, everybody, go to Sal's Twitter page. That's where you're going to find his link to Pinstripe People, his free Yankees newsletter. It's amazing. Talks about other baseball, but mostly focuses on the Yankees. It's awesome. You will not be disappointed. At Sal Majorana on Twitter. And, of course, he has his full draft recap and final thoughts and analysis on the Buffalo Bills at the Democrat and Chronicle. It's right there as well. Sal, every Monday we're going to do this, and I really appreciate you, buddy. Thanks a lot.
And I love having me on, Sal. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it. You got
it.
You got it, buddy. That is Sal Majorana. Every Monday in the summer at 10:30 a.m., we're going to talk with Sal about the Bills and about baseball. Had to squeeze some baseball in today, even though it's mostly about the Bills for sure. We're going to get more into that when we come back after this time out on WGR. 11 o'clock and 11:15, we got a couple guests coming to talk about a couple of the Bills draft picks. Your calls in the meantime here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, we went a little long with Sal Majorana, but that's always a good thing because Sal's awesome. He's going to be joining me every Monday at 10:30 throughout the summer. And then, of course, it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on Mondays during the season where we react to all the Bills games. And the schedule's coming out May 14th, so we're going to know exactly when that's going to be. So got a lot on the table here and a lot going on this morning here on WGR. Big discussion this morning. Brandon Bean joined Jeremy and Joe, talked about the wide receiver room. It was a very big point of discussion. A lot of you are talking about that. But the Bills added 9 more players to their team through the 2025 draft. We're going to talk about a couple of them coming up. We have a reporter from Kentucky, Aaron Gershon, who joined us last week on Maxwell Hairston. Now he's going to join us on Deion Walker. That comes your way next, followed by Alan Cole from South Carolina on TJ Sanders. So a lot to get to here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Monday. We'll take this time out and be right back after this.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I feel like my leadership style is kind of different. I'm more of a get to know the person, not the player. Just get good relationships with most of the guys on the team. Hopefully all of them. And if they do end up having a bad day, they have been slacking, some has been happening, be able to have that relationship to be able to come and talk to them and they not take it as disrespect. That's the biggest thing for me.
That's Deion Walker, Bills' fourth round pick out of Kentucky, defensive lineman. It's funny how life works, right? We had Aaron Gershon on Friday. I said, hey, reached out to him, said, hey, you cover Kentucky football. Bills just drafted Max Hairston. Let's talk a little bit about him. So we did. And during that conversation, I said, who knows? Maybe they'll take Deion Walker, a defensive lineman. They need one. He said, I'm here for you if you do. So here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Gershon joining me once again on the Wester Hotline from the Cat's Paws 24/7. What's going on, man? Thanks a lot for doing this again.
Thanks for having me back. Yeah, those top 30 visits definitely tell clues. Joe Shane, obviously, had said on the show on Friday, I've been a Giants fan my whole life.
Yeah.
Giants love taking those guys on top 30 visits. And who did Joe Shane work for and learn from? It's Brandon Bean. So good indicator there, and good job by you calling that one.
Do you think it's weird that the Rams and Jags do not do any top 30 visits?
Bizarre. I don't know why you wouldn't want to get a guy in your building and get a real feel for them and get them out of their element a little bit, see how they treat people in the building. I don't understand that at all. Jacksonville may want to rethink that process. Well, I guess the guy's coming from the Rams, but
yeah.
The Rams, for whatever reason, man, they just are one of the best teams at drafting. They're almost as good as Baltimore the last couple of years.
Well, if it works for them, I guess. But the Bills, they did have a lot of these guys in on top 30, including Deion Walker, that they do take in the fourth round. So Brandon Bean comes out, and he was really honest, I thought, the Bills general manager here, Aaron. What he said was his 2023 tape was way better than 2024. Then you learn he has the back injury, and that's probably a big reason. Is that what you saw from him on the field as well?
Oh, 100%. And we knew he was banged up last year. We didn't know it was a back injury until his pro day here at Kentucky is when he finally shared exactly what was going on with him. But 2023, I mean, this is a guy as a true sophomore with 7.5 sacks from his interior defensive tackle position. I believe it was close to 20, if not more, tackles for a loss. Felt like he was in the backfield every play. Offensive lines are double and triple teaming him, and they still can't stop him. And he just has such quick feet, and he's so fast, for lack of better terms, for a guy who's 6'7", 340 in every bit of it. So he was outstanding in 2023, first-team All-SEC, again, as a true sophomore. And he was projected, if you go look at the way too early mocks for 2025, or even go look at the mocks, you know, heading into the college football season, I couldn't find one that he wasn't at least in the first round, if not top 15, top 10. So that's kind of what the thought was on him going into his junior year. And then the back injury, he just clearly wasn't himself, wasn't the same player, looked a tad slower, couldn't get through the double teams like he did in 2023, didn't have that sack production. I think he only had half a sack on the year, and it was against Ole Miss and Jackson Dart there. So definitely not the same tape, and Brandon Bean's definitely not lying there, but man, if they get anything close to the guy they got in 2023, this is outstanding value at 109 or 110, wherever he was taken there.
What made him so dominant in 2023?
Again, I think it's the combination of size and speed. I mean, he's a guy that's every bit of 6'7", 340, and he's super strong, so that already makes him a matchup problem, but he's a guy who's really quick on his feet for that size, and I think just playing these offensive linemen, maybe they could handle the strength for a minute, but when that strength is also coming at you way quicker than you expect for that size, he's just a hard guy to block. And Kentucky, again, I think I mentioned this play to you on Friday. He had a play, I hope that it's made the rounds, in 2023 against Florida, where they dropped him back in coverage, and he was quick enough to drop 5-10 yards back, knocked down the tight end, and it led to a jump ball in the air or a loose ball in the air that Kentucky grabbed for an interception. So just a guy that can really, really move at great, great size. And, you know, it's a great combination if he's healthy.
So Bean is asked if he could play the one technique, because really that's where the Bills kind of need somebody. And his size suggests that, but that's not really his game, and he's going to have to play lower, and I think that's probably because of the back injury as well. What about his projection for you to the NFL and being able to handle the one technique if they put him there?
I think he'd be able to handle it if he needs to be there. I think he's a guy, again, I just think last year you have to throw out a lot of what we saw. Mm-hmm. I think Kentucky did try to get him into the three tech and the one tech. They wanted to get him to show off. Not, you know, first business is winning games, but they also wanted him to showcase his skills. But really, you go look at what he did in 2023. He did it all, and did it all at a high level. So I think he's a guy that's very capable of doing a little bit of everything, and I think he's in a really good situation in Buffalo there, where they drafted T.J. Sanders, who's a really nice player as well from South Carolina, a guy I've seen a bunch in person, and they have obviously Ed Oliver, one of the best in the game, coming back. So I think they'll have the ability to explore kind of his strengths, and if he's the 2023, even the 2022 Deion Walker, he had a really, really good freshman year here too. I think he could do either one.
So we talked a lot about Maxwell Hairston fitting in Buffalo, his personality and what he'll be like in the locker room. Seems a bit of the opposite from Deion Walker, a little quieter. In fact, I'm reading his bio from the Kentucky website. It says three words to describe himself: quiet, funny, and athletic. What would you say?
Those are pretty good. Yeah, I did a feature story on him before the season last year, so I spent a good 30 minutes with him just in a conference room, the two of us. And, you know, he'll definitely open up a little bit to you as he, you know, gets comfortable there. But I agree with that. He's a pretty calm guy. He's very quiet. He's not from the open practices I saw. He was a team captain the last 2 years, but he's not a rah-rah team captain. He's not a screamer. He's lead by example. And I was listening to that clip you played there, and it sounds about right. He really is a guy that genuinely cares about his teammates. He was a guy that anytime we asked him about a teammate, he had a really good answer and knew their stories. And he's a guy that just really, really cares. He's got a big heart. And definitely not the same personality as Max Harrison, though, you know, both those guys are from Detroit and they're really close, and they have been really since they both got on campus. So it's really cool to see them land together. But definitely much quieter in personality, but also just gentle giant when you get to know him, and he can be nasty on the football field when he's healthy. So I think he's going to fit in well up there.
Last thing for you before I let you go, Aaron, I really appreciate you joining us here again on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So we asked you, and I asked you on Friday about Jackson Dart. You didn't love the pick, but then the Giants, you're a Giants fan, they go into the weekend, and Darius Alexander, a guy I liked coming out, you know, from Toledo, a little older, and Cam Scatabo from Arizona State, the running back. What'd you think about the rest of their draft?
Loved it. Loved it. And, you know, I have to say, maybe it was an emotional fan reaction of it. I'll give Dart. We'll see what happens. I watched the full 1 hour of John Gruden, and that made me feel a little better.
All right.
That was good. But, no, Cam Scataboo's a guy I think is a fan favorite for just about everyone going this draft. But the Giants, I think, that's a perfect compliment to what they had in Tyron Tracy last year. So was fired up with that one. And, yeah, Darius Alexander, I like that the Giants are kind of building an identity here of really nasty trench play. I mean, you go look at all the depth they have on the interior now with Dexter Lawrence, of course, now Darius Alexander, some of the guys they signed this offseason. Obviously, you bring in Abdul Carter to rush the passer with the likes of Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau kind of as that third option. I like that they're finally building an identity, and Scataboo kind of fits that too because he's the guy who's going to win in the trenches on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, you got a lot of people here in Buffalo, of course, that watch and root for the Giants from afar because of Brian Daboll, not only being a former Bills coach, but from Buffalo. He's from West Seneca here, and then, of course, Joe Shane spending so much time here. Hey, thank you so much again. I really appreciate that. And if anybody wants to learn more about these two new Bills draft picks, tell everybody where they can find your work and that you've written about them. So tell everybody where they can find your work.
Yes, catsballs.com, the 247 Sports affiliate. That you could just go to our website and you could go with all the 247 tags. You could find the players tag and go find all the stories on the network that's been written about them or has them mentioned. And you can find a bunch of my old stuff with Dion and Max, two guys that were a pleasure to cover. And I'm looking forward to you guys getting to know them up in Buffalo.
Well, listen, anything else happens, we'll reach out and feel free to do the same on this end. Thanks a lot, Aaron.
You got it. Take care.
All right, that is Aaron Gershon, a writer for the Cat's Paws, 247. And by the way, the Paws, P-A-U-S-E. Kind of cool, right? I like that. A little play on words. We're going to have Alan Cole coming up in a minute. Alan covered T.J. Sanders at South Carolina, and obviously the Bills drafted two defensive tackles in the first four rounds. They drafted six defensive players in their first seven picks. It's a clear theme to Brandon Bean. They wanted to concentrate on defense. They did. They took a corner with their first pick, and then they go trenches after that. They don't go offense until day number three. That's a blocking tight end in Jackson Hawes. That's a wide receiver in Prather. The kid they got from Maryland, Caden Prather. So we'll talk all about that here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll go right back out to the West Her Hotline. Joining me right now is Alan Cole. He's a South Carolina beat writer for Rivals Gamecock. Sorry about that. Alan joins me to talk a little bit about T.J. Sanders. Alan, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Thanks a lot for doing this today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hope you're doing well up there.
Yeah, we are. We are. Obviously wrapping up another draft. The Bills, they dip into the defensive tackle pool. They get T.J. Sanders from South Carolina. You've covered T.J. You've watched his game. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I think the first thing about T.J. people say is the versatility. You know, South Carolina would line him up, you know, over the A gap sometimes, over the B gap, a little bit even over tackle sometimes in obvious pass rush situations. So I think that's kind of the first thing that jumps out is I think the reason so many teams liked him and had him, you know, top 40, top 50 on their boards is you can kind of play him anywhere in any situation and he's going to be able to, you know, take the snap.
And the Bills, as you say that, the Bills really kind of need a little bit more at their one technique. A guy can hold up against the run. When you look at TJ's size, 300, he's not your typical 330-pound nose tackle, one technique, but how can he fit in if they have to put him a little bit more over the center?
Yeah, that is going to be the one thing with him. I think he was like 25th or 30th percentile in weight for his position at the draft. He's going to have to put some weight on for sure. But he held his own against the run pretty well. It's not as good against double teams, obviously. He saw some of those just because of his ability, but you wouldn't think he'll see many of those. It's definitely not as a rookie in the NFL. So he's got a pretty good first step, pretty good at the point of attack. It's kind of when he's getting run right at his size, that's a problem. But you'd hope he'd put a little bit of weight on, and that kind of develops with his time in the league.
All right, so he's had 8.5 sacks, though. He's an athletic guy. He's a penetrator. The Bills like that out of their defensive tackles. Played tight end at Marion High School in South Carolina. Obviously a good athlete. What did you see from him from a penetrating standpoint?
Yeah, like I said, quick first step, good at hitting the hole. Pretty good in space, too, honestly. I wouldn't necessarily call him a speed demon, but he moves pretty well for his size. And then obviously, like you said, the 8.5 sacks. When he gets to the quarterback, he's pretty good at finishing the plays. You saw that with the tackle for loss numbers as well. I don't know if you'd call him a traditional pass rusher up the middle, but he's good at getting to the quarterback, and he finishes plays when he gets the chance.
What can you tell us about TJ off the field? The Bills obviously big on the whole person. They always say, come to Buffalo, we'll make you the best version of yourself. They're big on culture, what they've built here in the room. How will TJ fit in?
Yeah, he was very well liked by his teammates here. He was a kind of one of those cornerstone guys for, you know, the head coach here, Shane Beamer. Mm-hmm. He was with Shane in all four of his years here at South Carolina. He wanted to be part of this. He came back after a 5-7 season in, you know, the transfer portal age. And I think I saw him say it in an interview, he was very well liked by Pete Lembo, the head coach at University of Buffalo, played on special teams the first couple of years here, had a good relationship there. So well-liked guy, kind of, you know, earlier in his career, willing to do some of those things on special teams. I think he was in their punt shield, if I'm not mistaken, early. So well-liked guy. I think he's going to fit in well up there.
Yeah, and that was – I actually reached out to Pete Lembo. I know him well and asked him about TJ, and yeah, he had glowing reviews. Yeah. And what was interesting to me was what he said about TJ, and then TJ backed it up, was the special teams component. A lot of times you don't see guys that big playing on special teams and running down and doing different things, but it seems like TJ has embraced that, and he even said, anything I do on special teams is attributed to Pete Lembo getting me to love it.
Yeah, that's a big part of South Carolina's program in general. You know, their head coach is, you know, obviously the son of Frank Beamer and the Beamer ball and all of that, but – yeah, for sure. He was, you know, like I said, if I'm remembering correctly, he was on their punt shield, just protecting the punter. Obviously, at his size, you're not going to be a gunner or anything. But, yeah, he was on special teams. I don't know if that's a role for him in the NFL necessarily, but if the Bills ask him to, it will be. I know that much. So that's definitely part of, you know, his identity, his DNA, and also this program as well.
Alan Cole joining us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, a beat writer for Rivals Gamecock. All right, so let's just talk about a couple other guys from South Carolina, because we had a lot of investment here, especially from our afternoon show host, Bulldog, who really loved Nick Amonwori. Not that I didn't or anybody else didn't, but he was really all about him and what he brought to the table. The Bills did not draft him. Of course, he goes in the second round pretty early to the Seattle Seahawks. Tell us a little bit about Nick Amonwori and how you think he projects to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I understand some of the red flags there, just, you know, he's missed some tackles. He's not as great, you know, in man-to-man coverage, but I was surprised he fell out of the first round. He's got physique out of a comic book. Just the way he moves, the physical traits, the way he finishes, it's all there. The ball skills, I think he's going to end up being a steal. You know, the way Seattle likes to use safeties, Mike McDonald, I think he's going to fit in really well there. I thought he was going to go in the first round, like I said, and I think Seattle got a really good one there at the top of the second round.
Demetrius Knight, another second-round pick, goes to the Bengals at pick number 17. What's his projection to the next level?
Yeah. The age was, I think, as much as anything what held him back. He's a sixth-year senior, 25 years old. That's always just going to be a bit of a red flag for NFL GMs. But moved well, you know, really smart, good player recognition, was kind of a Mike linebacker wearing that green dot for South Carolina's defense last year right in the middle of everything. I don't know about like a immediate starter. I think he's going to come in there. Another guy who played on special teams is going to come in there, play immediately, rotate in and out for the Bengals. And also just, I don't know if you saw the story about him. He used to drive DoorDash to put himself through school, but great person, locker room guy. I think he was loved by everybody here.
Alan Cole joining us here. Alan, you got a chance to watch a lot of SEC, obviously. You watched the SEC. You covered the SEC. The Bills went SEC heavy. Anything you have at all, if you don't, that's fine, on Max Harrison and Deion Walker from Kentucky and also Landon Jackson in Arkansas.
Yeah, Deion Walker's the one that kind of stands out. He was Buffalo's fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why he fell. I obviously don't cover Kentucky, but
apparently there was a back injury that forced him to not have. He didn't have quite the season last year due to a back injury. But I guess that's, you know, what everybody's saying. And even the Bills GM said he had a much better 2023.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. His 2023, when Kentucky came here and played South Carolina in 23, he single-handedly took over that game. I think Spencer Rattler called him the best defensive tackle he faced all season after that game in 2023. So the injury part, obviously, you're concerned about that. It's probably why I fell to the fourth round. But that's the one of those three that stands out to me. If Deion Walker's healthy, that's a game changer. He saw it when he was fully healthy in 2023 at Kentucky.
Alan, tell everybody where they can find your work if they want to learn a little bit more about TJ Sanders or maybe anybody else the Bills wind up getting through undrafted free agency from South Carolina or anything like that.
Yep, I am at Alan, that's A-L-A-N, 2 underscores, because the name's really common. I have a few, 2 A-L-A-N, 2 underscores, Cole, C-O-L-E on Twitter. And then RivalsGamecock.com covering South Carolina athletics.
All right. Love it, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking some time out to tell us a little bit more about TJ Sanders, the Buffalo Bills draft pick. Thanks a lot, Alan. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for having me. Yep.
Yep, you got it. Alan Cole right there. Check him out at Alan_Cole. You can't even tell that on his Twitter page, 2 underscores. I mean, we got a boss here, Alan. We got Josh Allen here. Got a lot of Allens to go around, right? And they're all spelled different, by the way. They're all spelled different. Josh Allen is A-L-L-E-N. Our boss is A-L-L-A-N. This guy is A-L-A-N. How would you spell your name if you were Allen?
I don't even know what that
all different. You'd have all different ways to do it.
Is there a different way that we are not thinking of?
Yes. Alan Pupar, who we have on.
That's right.
He spells it L-A-L-A-I-N, I believe. Right? Let me just see. Yeah, they're A-L-A-I-N, but it's Alan.
Yeah, I think that might be the most unique way. Unless
I think so, too.
Unless you try to do something where you have an A and an E.
Could do that.
Like, but then I feel like that would get misconstrued.
But then you might not need 2 underscores either, like Alan Cole has 2 underscores for his name. The Bills wrap up their 2025 draft. It's an interesting class because, as I said earlier, I think they've taken some swings here. A couple guys that stand out, though, and a couple things I want to mention about their 2025 draft. Let's start with Jackson Hawes. And this is the tight end that played 5 years at Yale. Okay. He gets an economics degree at an Ivy League school. Dude's smart, right? Then he transfers to Georgia Tech because he wants to play football, improve his draft stock, and actually play in the league. And it works. He's the best blocking tight end in this entire draft. Couple of things happen when the Bills take a guy like this. Couple of negative reactions could be that I've seen. Number one, why do you always have to just draft smart guys? How about football players? Okay, that's a logical fallacy. You could be smart and play football. Okay, this guy apparently can. He's really, really strong and tough and loves the violent part of the game. But that's the other part of it. Sometimes you get, oh, great, a blocking tight end, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Folks, let me tell you what this guy's going to do, okay? I think my prediction is right now, Jackson Hawes, the Buffalo Bills tight end they drafted this weekend, is going to become the new extra offensive lineman instead of Alec Anderson. So now, a couple things you can accomplish, okay? Number one, first and foremost, it allows Alec Anderson to actually be more of a regular backup offensive lineman and even compete for a job. Now, he might not even get on the field as much, but you could still use him in that role if you'd like. But you now get Alec Anderson able to compete for a job. Maybe he wins a backup job. Maybe he wins a starting job. Probably not. I think David Edwards is the only guy there you could even consider that could happen with. But I don't think that's going to happen, but he could wind up winning a job. Number two, the extra offensive lineman can actually catch a pass now. You could do that with Alec Anderson, but number three here, he'd have to report eligible. The Bills could have an extra, quote-unquote, offensive lineman who no longer has to go to the referee, Josh, and say, I'm eligible, I'm eligible, I'm eligible. This guy's going to wear an eligible number because he's a tight end. And then you're going to know, oh, he can actually go out for a pass. You're not alerting the other team. We got a guy in here, and we could throw to him. This guy, you already know he could throw to him. The Bills could run a myriad of sets in personnel packages. And yes, they still have Reggie Gilliam. Reggie Gilliam is a blocking fullback, blocking tight end, more of a fullback. What he did towards the end of the year last year, using him as a blocker in the backfield, was really helping the offense. He's also a big-time special teams guy. This guy will be too. Jackson Hawes, no doubt about it, right? They did not re-sign Quinton Morris. Quinton Morris was a restricted free agent. The Bills did not tender him a restricted free agent offer, which was expected because that would have been like $3 million. Then that meant he became an unrestricted free agent. I figured, okay, they'll probably bring him back. Maybe they still would have. They still could. But now with Jackson Hawes, I doubt you do because your tight end room is now Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Jackson Hawes, and Zach Davidson. I think that's probably about where you want to land if you're the Bills. So I think Jackson Hawes plays. I'm going to tell you the other guy that I think is interesting, and I'm staying on offense now because we talked so much about defense earlier. Chase Lunt. So this is a kid, Chase Lunt, who's from UConn. And I don't know if you know, but that's where Ryan Vandermark also played. UConn's actually produced some NFL players over the years. People don't realize they've been a pretty decent program. But you get an athletic, big offensive lineman, which the Bills have just loved. Right? You think about Ryan Vandermark as one of them. The Bills didn't draft Ryan Vandermark, by the way. He was drafted or, I think, undrafted by the Colts, but then the Bills grabbed him off their practice squad, or he was waived, I think, and the Bills claimed him. But either way, he started with the Colts, comes to the Bills. You have Ryan Vandermark, and let's remember, Tommy Doyle, who was drafted, was just an athletic freak for his size. Unfortunately, now he's retired due to the knee injuries he's had. And then, of course, there's Spencer Brown, who's turned into a terrific, terrific right tackle. So Chase Lunt comes to the Bills at 6'8", maybe 6'7", shy of 6'8", over 300 pounds. He's an athletic freak. I think he has a very good shot to compete for a backup job. He will compete. I think he could very well beat out a guy like Ryan Vandermark or Richard Garage. Tylon Grable, I'm not so sure about. He won the starting job last, I'm sorry, the backup job and swing job last year as a rookie. I wouldn't put it past Chase Lunt to win a job from one of these guys either. We'll see where it lands and what they do. But I like that. Okay, we had a talk about wide receiver earlier today. The morning show did with Brandon Bean. It was very interesting. A lot of you are talking about that. I'll talk about wide receiver when we come back. I'll give you my thoughts on wide receiver and a couple other positions that I just think we finally need to put to rest because it's been said, and here we are. We're all done with this. All the talk. I've been saying a few things for a month here, and I think a bunch of it's come to fruition, and I just want to revisit and say why, and let's kind of take stock of where they are here at wide receiver and a couple other spots about what the Bills are thinking and what's maybe needed or not needed going forward here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
As you get to a certain point on the board, you're going, all right, how does this guy help? If there was a guy when we picked at the first round that we're like, yes, this guy's dynamic, he's going to fit here, we would have turned it in. In the second round, we would have done it. We went up and got TJ. Like, we weren't dodging receiver. We were going in, hey, we had the guy stacked where it was. I didn't think it was the deepest class. I'll say that. But yeah, if it would have worked out, I would have gladly done it. But I'm trying to make sure we got the best team, not the best receiving corps.
Well, there you have it. Bills general manager Brandon Bean. That's from this morning with Jeremy and Joe. Fantastic radio and a great debate. And I think there's a lot to be said for both sides of this wide receiver debate and discussion that's been going on really for over a year now, right? And it continued today. And if you haven't listened to it, you've probably seen it. It's gone pretty viral. The video clip and the interview with Jeremy and Joe with Brandon Bean today on our morning show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So you can find that. You can hear it. You can listen to it. You can go back on YouTube and watch it. The YouTube stuff is great, by the way. And as I always try to remind everybody, YouTube, you can go find it. You can scroll back and forth, all the morning show, the afternoon show, wherever you want. It's super easy. And it's available in Canada for all Canadian listeners. We had Bill call before. He was in Toronto, and now he can watch on YouTube instead of having to, he can't get it on the app because it couldn't be used. So go wherever you are and check it out. Okay, so listen. Brandon Bean right there talking about wide receiver. This goes to the heart of what my main point has been for a while about this stuff, all of this. This isn't just wide receiver, folks. This is safety, okay? It's linebacker. It's mostly, I think receiver's number one, safety's number two for this point I'm about to make. I've been saying this until I'm blue in the face. I'll say it again. You can play GM all you want. You can think the Bills have to do A, B, C to improve their roster or have needs here, have needs there. That's fine and dandy. The Bills don't agree with you. And Brandon Bean doesn't. And you have every right to criticize that. That's what fans do. That's what media does. You have every right to do that. But anytime this came up in the last month, I would tell you, and I tell people here, they don't feel that way about that room. They're more confident and comfortable with it than you are. Whether that's wide receiver or safety, We had this huge discussion Thursday morning about safety because suddenly all these national people have the Bills taking a safety, and Malachi Starks and Nick Amemori. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. I can tell you I know the Bills like their safeties. You might not like them, but they do. What are we doing? Like, why would they? They're not taking a safety in the first round. If Malachi Starks was there, I still don't think they would have taken him. I don't know that for sure. But he wasn't. They didn't take Nick Amemori. He was there. And then it comes to wide receiver. And again, I'll go back to the point that I've made. From a Bills perspective, you just heard Brandon Bean say it right there. And if it wasn't right there in that clip, it's in the interview. From a Bills perspective, from Brandon Bean's perspective, they go out and get a wide receiver. They draft one early. It's where is he playing right now? You, WGR listener right now, Bills fan, could say, well, he should play over Keon Coleman. He could play over Joshua Palmer. Great. I'm telling you right now, it's just not how the Bills see it. Khalil Shakir is clearly their number one receiver. Not number one in the sense of a Justin Jefferson number one, a Jamar Chase number one. Those are very hard to find. I mean number one is the main guy on the team. Okay? Khalil Shakir. You have Keon Coleman, who was drafted with the very first pick of the second round last year, who they felt was really starting to come around until the injury. Sean McDermott even used the word dominant when he talked about his season and where he was going. They just paid Joshua Palmer $9 million a year. Again, for right or wrong. I'm not here to defend it. I'm here to tell you, put yourself in that position and try to understand the reasoning. Curtis Samuel, they paid last year $8 million a year, got nicked up, did not have the season they thought, and he's coming back. And they have an investment in him for the next couple of years, by the way. That's four. The fifth guy, if they were to draft one, could certainly compete with one of these guys, no doubt. And you can make the argument, just make Curtis Samuel the fifth wide receiver. If you're the Bills, do you want to spend that asset on a fourth receiver, though? I think those kinds of guys should come in and be like Keon Coleman last year was the first pick of the second round. Like, he's got to come in and play. There's not room for that. And the larger point here about the whole roster is the pass catchers. It's not just the wide receivers when it comes to this debate. The Bills are banking on Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, and Curtis Samuel, all three of them, to be healthier and more productive than last year. Is that maybe a lot to ask to roll the dice on those three guys all having that happen? Sure, I could understand that. Valid argument. But even if you got two out of the three, you really raise kind of what you were at the pass catcher spot. I look at the names and I understand. I understand where people are coming from. Because you look at NFL teams, you see there's Garrett Wilson on the Jets. There's Tyreek Hill on the Dolphins. There's Jamar Chase on the Bengals. There's Justin Jefferson on the Vikings. And go through and pick out certain guys that are just these traits, these athletic, incredible number one wide receiver traits. Where's my guy? In this day and age of passing, where's my guy? Give my quarterback, my league MVP, that guy. From Brandon Bean's perspective, we didn't have that guy last year and we just scored 31 points a game. We didn't have that guy last year and we just scored the most points overall in the entire NFL, including the Super Bowl champions when you count the playoffs overall in total points. We didn't have that guy last year and Josh Allen completed and won his first MVP ever, despite having that guy the year before and the year before and the year before and Stephon Diggs. So you can have these discussions all you want about how much they need to add to the wide receiver room. And I don't begrudge anybody who says that. But it's clear the Bills feel okay with where they are. And be quite honest with you, they kind of have scoreboard on their side. No, they didn't win the Super Bowl. I get it. But they did do all those things. They did with this group. I don't think that the Mac Hollins, like, You want to get into, well, that group, they had Matt Collins and Amari Cooper. Yeah, I know. I don't think it moves the needle for me that much because Hollins was a nice player. I mean, he was a guy that a lot of you thought he wouldn't even make the team when they signed him last year. Amari Cooper is a nice player. He didn't really do much after they traded for him. So I think I think that's kind of off to the side for me. It's a great discussion. It's a great debate. Okay, the other ones are real quick. I told you I'd do this. I said safety. Like, folks, if they would have drafted a safety to play over Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop, because you have to if you're going to draft one in that early, first round, if they were going to do that, I mean, yeah, you could get an elite talent. It might take a little while, and then you'd be kind of neglecting the other areas where you needed to get better. And that's why I don't think the Bills were ever going to do that. The other one was linebacker. That's one that I thought they could take a guy. They could bring in a guy. They could draft someone. But it was never to be a regular player. It would always be for depth and special teams, and let's see where this goes with Matt Milano going into the final year of his contract. Can Dorian Williams take another step and become, you know, a guy that can do a little bit more of everything they need him to? Will Joe Andreessen still maintain what he started off as we saw last year? What do they think about Eddie Ulofosio? Can Bale Inspector stay healthy? A lot of questions there, but I think right now what you're looking at linebacker is them going, hey, we only play two of them. We really like the guys we have, and you know how they can be better? Let's get a corner and let's get defensive tackles to keep people off of them. I thought they might. They didn't. But those were the areas. Another one was punter. I know people aren't confident in what the Bills have, punter, but let me give you the Bills side like I always do here. The Bills side of that is, first of all, they don't punt that much. Okay. Secondly, they're not going to punt even as much this year because of the new kickoff rules with the touchbacks. That's actually going to decrease punts as well. It already did last year, and now it's even more so. And I want to remind everybody, they do have a guy named Jake Camarda who actually was fifth in the NFL for two straight years in yards per punt. Last year he was on the Bucs. They had a special teams coordinator change. He didn't mesh well with them. They released him. So that's kind of what happened there. All right, let's get to a couple phone calls. Bill in Old Forge. Hi, Bill. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. First of all, I would never waste a draft pick on a punter or kicker at all. I did when I was in college. But regardless of that, I don't know if people are complaining about that. Regardless, look, man, my opinion of Brandon Bean at this point, he's been here long enough. To me, he's just been average and sometimes just poor. And my thing is this. You know what? If we didn't have to draft another corner this year because his first-round pick, Elam, wasn't a bust, maybe we could have drafted a receiver in the first two rounds or maybe even the first round. And his argument with those guys this morning, I think he's completely wrong. All the stuff you're saying can be true. Both things can be true, like you said. But my point is this. As long as Josh Allen is the quarterback of your football team, I think your number one priority, regardless of any other position on the team, I don't care what it is to get him a top guy, a top receiver to throw the ball to. And, yeah, everyone eats, and all this whole narrative of, we have a bunch of average guys. Allen makes them better. They're going to score 30 points a game. But my point is this. Sometimes it looks like a struggle against a good team to score points when we get in those tough games, those dogfight games. And maybe, just maybe, if you got him a top guy, like some of the receivers you mentioned, the Burrow has, Prescott has, name your quarterback, right? You get him a top guy, maybe it's not so much of a struggle. Maybe there's a receiver that can take over a game that some of these guys have. Get him the guy. So Allen doesn't have to be Superman all the time in these big games. And maybe we could score 40 points instead of the 30 points, which is good. But maybe we could score 40 points instead of the 30. And maybe we can finally get over the hump and get to a Super Bowl. And I'm going to end with this. Again, both things can be true. But I think Bean's missing the point. I think most people think that as long as Allen's your quarterback, you should be trying to prioritize the receiver position with a star, if you can get one, to help him out. And obviously he thinks there is an issue there because every year it seems like halfway through the season, we do address it with an Amari Cooper or somebody like that. But that's my take on it. But
I got you, Bill. I got you, Bill. No, thanks for the call. I'm gonna run. I got you there. Elam was a miss, no doubt. I don't know if you can draw a direct correlation to then they would have drafted a receiver because I think you have the philosophy on the receiver that's the baseline here, right? So I don't think you can draw a direct correlation from if Elam had worked out, you could draft a wide receiver. Yes, it wouldn't be a need at corner. It doesn't mean that you still wouldn't draft a defensive tackle. But I agree with you. Yeah, Elam was a miss for sure. I don't agree that he's been average to poor. Again, I think that he's built a solid roster here all around. Maybe missing those top-end talented guys that really are, you know, voted to Pro Bowls and winning All-Pro nods. That's not happened necessarily, but I don't think he's been average to poor. And the final thing is, I just want to say, 40 points a game. What? Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, that would be unbelievably historic. If that's what you think it would take to win, I think the Bills feel, how about we also keep teams down and not even have to score 30 necessarily in games? But I do agree with you, Bill. It was a struggle at times when you saw it, even though they did score over 30 points a game 8 straight weeks. There were a few times where it felt like it was grinding, but you get the Brandon Beans point, and I appreciate the call. Denny in Middlebury. Hi, Denny.
Hey, how's it going, Sal?
Good, bud.
After the last call, I know that I know how Bean feels. The one thing I did want to mention to Bean, though, I know he's not listening, but Marv Levy once said, the moment you start listening to the fans is the moment you start sitting with them. So while he might not have liked the wide receiver talk coming out about it, definitely wasn't the best in his interest. Just based on the other call, we did go offense the last 2 years in wide receiver and tight end.
They did.
We desperately, just like you said, need to keep people down. It's not a narrative that we scored 30 points a game. It is a fact. So if we are scoring 30 points a game and we are not winning every game, that means that the other side of the ball needs help. Not only did Bean draft one of the two most important positions, but he drafted two of each. We got two DTs, we got two cornerbacks, so we know that we kind of hedge our bets. If one of them doesn't work out, the other one is going to. So this was a defensive year based upon the fact of everything we did last year on offense didn't win us a Super Bowl. We need defense to win a Super Bowl, and that's what he did.
All right, Denny, good call. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Denny calling from a 1970s record player, apparently. I love it, though. Gonna go. That was Denny. Now let's go to Stairway to Heaven. That was great. We'll take a timeout. Good show today. Good debate. Good calls. Let's keep it rolling. Sabres live at noon, but we'll come back after this timeout to wrap up the Monday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hey, let's give some congratulations out there to Sean Dolak. Sean Dolak will be heading to the Rams as an undrafted free agent. I know a lot of you wanted him out there, and it would have been nice. It would have been a great story. We could have covered it here, talked about it a lot. Sean Dolak, I thought the Bills could have taken a linebacker, like I said, late. That could have fit there. But good for Sean Dolak, no matter where it is. Local guy, UB, obviously. He's going to the L.A. Rams. I did not see. I could be wrong here. Josh, you can help me. I did not see Matthew Jaworski. If he's going anywhere or not. Let's see. Not really sure. I haven't seen anything on that. So if we find anything, I'll let you know. He's the young man we interviewed last week. Went to St. Francis High School. Then he went to Fordham. He was the Defensive Player of the Year for the Patriot League. So we'll see if that's the case. The Bills apparently are bringing in, they always bring in about, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 undrafted free agents. The number looks to be about 12 this year, according to various reports that are out there. And that would bring them to 88. Brandon Bean said they're not going to get right to 90 right away because they have to have their rookie minicamp. That's going to happen in 2 weekends. Not this weekend, but the next weekend is rookie minicamp. And then they'll have some tryout guys at rookie minicamp like they always do. And then they might sign somebody. That's what happened to Joe Andreessen last year. He came to Bill's rookie minicamp and he made the team out of there. So if you keep a couple spots open, you never know what can happen. Sabres live up next. Sabres haven't made any announcements this offseason. We'll see if something's coming this week, soon. Other teams have been doing that about any shakeups, any changes, anything like that. One Bills live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3. Great show today. Thanks for being with me today. Have a great rest of your Monday on WGR.